Welcome to the Portland City Council. I need to read a statement regarding our February 4th meeting. It's a housekeeping item. Although our office proposed and the council approved an ordinance allowing the council to hold its regular meeting at the Bureau of Maintenance Operations Facility on February 4th, due to the schedules of our partners, who we wish to recognize, and the members of the council, we are planning to hold a 9:30 a.m. council session on February 4th in council chambers as usual. Do I hear any objections from the members of the city council to make this scheduling change? All right, hearing none. Carla, will you please call the council item?
Mm-hmm. The roll call?
Please call the roll call.
Bish?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Could you please read the council calendar item?
Item 86, council advice regarding number of lanes for Columbia River Crossing Project.
Well, I want to welcome you all here. We have today decided to continue this hearing until 6 p.m. on Wednesday, February 25th. The reason for doing that is that this city council, along with our partners in the city of Vancouver and Clark County, TriMet, Metro, wish to spend between now and February 25th to come up with a concept for the Columbia River crossing that we can all agree on, one that will be embraced by an adequate number of citizens on both sides of the river, and one that a majority of decision makers can support as well. This really builds on what is a very good working relationship between Clark County, City of Vancouver, other cities north of the river, and the cities and counties and metropolitan government on the south side of the river. So by the 25th, this council and our partners hope to come forward with a consensus package that considers the issues of lanes, that considers the issues of pricing and congestion pricing and tolling, and considers the issues of access to transit. We really are much closer together on those issues than one might think reading the papers. We know that we will all have to make some compromises, and I think everyone up here, including myself, is willing to do that, and this intervening time will allow us to have those discussions. So today we are going to take testimony. We're not going to have staff presentations. We will take testimony, and if you haven't signed up, please feel free to do so with outside the door. And then we will continue the hearing until 6 p.m. on Wednesday, February 25th. But I also want to give my colleagues on the council an opportunity for some upfront sharing of thoughts as well before we get into the testimony. Commissioner Leonard?
Thank you, Mayor Adams. I have tried to come to this issue as neutral as possible, and thus have been less influenced by what we'd consider traditionally as lobbying on either side of the issue, and more driven by what the staff produces in terms of recommendations. And just to summarize briefly what those are that were given to us orally here at council on Monday, and we each received private briefings before that. The staff has concluded that that constructing a bridge that has the capacity to accept 12 lanes, whether it actually has 12 lanes or not is another issue entirely, but has the capacity to have 12 lanes, is the most carbon neutral bridge possible, including the option of not doing anything with the current bridge because of the idling and the inefficiency of automobiles that idle, producing carbon dioxide. It's actually more efficient and better for the environment that the bridge be built to a 12-lane capacity. That combined with their analyses that shows that it would reduce traffic accidents and injuries if it was built to that capacity. Having said that, I am also mindful that our neighbors in Clark County are very concerned about this debate. Portland is the hub of this region. We provide the jobs. We provide really many of the kinds of things that are important for quality of life for people beyond the boundaries of the city of Portland, and we need to recognize that. They, in some ways, have perceived this, although I don't think that was the intent, that we were somehow holding them hostage over these discussions based on what they assumed we might want here in Portland. I'm concerned about that. So I want to make sure that we do the right thing in terms of the environment. I want to make sure that we don't send a message to our neighbors across the river that we somehow don't respect them and their concerns in terms of the tolling prices and those other considerations. And Mayor Adams, I think, has wisely suggested that instead of us debating that today, that he represent the city in further discussions with Mayor Pollard of Vancouver and Council President Bregman, which I think is a good idea, and then come back after those issues are more thoroughly vetted with a recommendation that we would then hopefully maybe have some consensus on. If not, we'll have the debate at that time. Thank you, Mayor Adams.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Fritz.
I probably bring the polar opposite perspective, having until December 31st, been a member of the community. Until November, I was a board member with the Coalition for a Livable Future, which has been one of the community groups doing stalwart work on evaluating the merits of this proposal and questioning whether any bridge is needed, let alone a 12-lane bridge. And so Mayor Adams invited me to attend the Project Sponsors Council in December when he was out of town. And I was pleasantly surprised to find the level of healthy questioning and ongoing debate over exactly what should happen in this project. I've been very pleased with the staff work on this project and finding out more information as I move into my new role. I remain the alternate on the Project Sponsors Council for Mayor Adams, and I'm also one of the delegates to the Metro Policy Advisory Committee. So I'm going to be working very closely with Metro and the Metro Council as we continue to work through this. The bottom line that I have drawn from my 4 weeks nearly in office is that this is not a done deal, that we don't have some, at least as far as I can tell, there is no secret plan for exactly what's going to happen in this project, that we are still all diligently working through the alternatives and looking at what's best for everybody. So I wanted to reassure my community partners and former community organizers and advocates that the questions are truly on the table and that we want your input. And I think as we do move to the February 25th hearing, that I'm committed to having an open, transparent public process as we work through all of these issues. And I know that the council would be very interested to hear from citizens as we move forward with your perspectives and with your analysis, because there's been a lot of good work done in the community as well as at the staff level to evaluate the nitty-gritty of what's in all the environmental impact statements, what's in the reports, what's in the studies. And we are making this decision together. We do need continued input from citizens, particularly on issues such as tolling I-205, that while we are committed to working with our partners in Washington State, we also, as Portland Council, need to look out for the best interests of Portland. And so I personally am hoping to hear more input from folks living near 205, having businesses near 205, as to the pros and cons of tolling there as well, and then figuring out how we can work that into the discussion with Washington State partners. So I am very pleased with this process. I was expecting something different, and I'm glad to be able to report that it's really important that every one of you is here today, and I thank you very much for taking time out of your day to be here.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. In keeping with the theme of what each of us brings to this debate, I would like to say that as the father of a 16-year-old daughter, I have also a unique perspective. And I recently, she's learning to drive, and we recently went out on I-5 from Portland to Vancouver. And I survived the experience, but frankly, sitting in that other seat, watching a novice driver figure out how to navigate a road with that much congestion and with people constantly merging, thinking that that they have the right of way as you're heading north is an experience that I'm glad to say that both of us survived and our relationship survived, but it gave me a new perspective on some of the challenges that we're facing. I agree that with what's been said before that we need to make a decision soon to keep this project moving forward. And I also believe we have a historic opportunity to build a tremendous bi-state project that gets it right on several fronts: freight mobility, transit, bike walk, environment, safety, and future capacity. But I am concerned, as are my colleagues, that we have not yet nailed down a meaningful transportation demand management plan with all jurisdictions that we are confident will address induced demand. I believe that a few weeks of delay is reasonable to make sure that we get an effective transportation demand management and tolling package and full consultation with our jurisdiction partners. And here's my concern. Without these important checks in place, we could decide to build a 10 or 12 lane bridge and end up with 16 lanes worth of traffic. So the number of lanes is important, but I think it is not the most and singularly most important question before us. I want to have confidence that whatever we build functions as this council and this region intends it to. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. All right, unless there are other comments from council, just a few housekeeping items. How many of you have testified? How many of you are planning to testify? How many of you have testified before council before? All right, for those of you that haven't, it's really simple. Carla, our great council clerk, will call your name. And because we have people upstairs, she'll call the three that are coming up and the next three. So if you're upstairs, that gives you time to come down. There's a clock on the big piece of wood on the table. That is a countdown clock from 3 minutes. And you only need to give your first and last name. We do not need, nor do we want, your address. And one other thing is, if you are here representing, if you're a lobbyist and you're representing a group, then we ask that you declare that at the outset of your testimony, the beginning of your testimony. We have courtesies of the House to elected officials, and I'm very pleased today to have three elected officials from our friends and partners to the north. We have, if you'd please come forward, we have Mayor Pro Tem Pat Giamatti. Please come forward. We have a counselor and representative of the CTRAN on the Project Sponsors Council, Tim Levitt. And we have Larry Smith. Did you want to testify, Councillor Smith?
No. Okay.
Great. Welcome to the Portland City Council. And
thank you, Mayor.
Please have a seat, and we're glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm Pat Gelada, for the record, Mayor Pro Tem of the City of Vancouver, and I brought a letter from our mayor, Royce Pollard, and he said to be sure that he is not representing the voice of the council. However, I also want to say that I completely endorse the statements contained in his letter. And it is addressed to the Honorable Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland. Dear Mayor and Council, the Columbia River Crossing Project is perhaps the most significant public works project ever to come before us in this modern time. Mobility and safety of our citizens, freight movement, and the billions of dollars that flow through our local economy are all prime elements that are directly affected by this important effort. This is the region's project. The regional economy relies on and is supported by a workforce derived from Clark County and the counties that make up North Central Oregon. Additionally, we share the same airshed, river, mountains, and the Columbia River Gorge that is the gateway to recreation and the agricultural assets of both Eastern Oregon and Eastern Washington. With so much in common, we have the opportunity to continue to strengthen our ties in a common way that benefits us all. This project proposes to extend light rail into Clark County to help with our daily commute travel. It improves the efficiency of the I-5 corridor for motorists, commuters, bike and pedestrian travelers, as well as facilitate strategic freight movement along our entire West Coast. There are two international ports that serve our communities. Both rely on our transportation systems to make them competitive with other West Coast ports. Thus, the number of lanes is perhaps one of the most important decisions we are faced with. And many other issues rely on this decision, as this project advances. I was pleased to be asked to be present at the recent joint meeting of the Portland City Council and the Metro Council. This is Mayor Pollard speaking. Discussion was lively and many differing views and issues were brought forward. This confirms there is much work to be done, however, in order to meet some very important deadlines this decision needs to move forward. The Vancouver City Council continues to discuss and learn more about the number of lanes issue. Our recommendation is expected to be forthcoming within the next month. However, speaking for myself, and I concur, I believe that to meet the stated goals of the project and to minimize impacts to our downtowns and its citizens, I encourage the Portland City Council to carefully consider the maximum number of lanes through the bridge influence area. Please remember that this bridge has only 6 lanes through, 3 in each direction, and 3 additional add-drop lanes in each direction for safety and efficiency, and personally, I would emphasize safety. There are many important decisions that need to be made, and unfortunately, we will not have the benefit of having all the desired information available on all topics when the question is called on individual issues. I ask that you carefully consider all the testimony, read all the letters, study the data, and consider the purpose and need of this project when making your decision on this very important topic. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor Pro Tem.
Mayor Adams, Commissioners, it's a pleasure to be here on behalf of CTRAN, the Public Transit Agency in Clark County. I don't have a formal presentation for you today, but I would just like to make a few remarks and understand you have a lot of folks here to testify, so I'll be very brief. Indeed, we have monumental decisions ahead of us, you do, as well as the rest of the partners in this region. We have a project of national significance and a project that is preparing future generations to be successful in our community. Many of those generations will be taking advantage of this project long after we're gone, quite candidly. From a public transit perspective, I want you to know that the CTRAN Board of Directors wholeheartedly endorses the extension of light rail transit into Clark County. This project will double transit ridership in the I-5 corridor and will further allow CTRAN to provide express services in an efficient manner into the heart of Portland, where indeed the economic base of our region is. We are in agreement, Mayor Adams, on more items of this project than disagreement, that's for sure. And we appear to be at a pinnacle of federal financial participation in this project, and I must emphasize, I don't think this is an opportunity we can afford to miss. There is more discussion to be had, and we look forward to working with you to reach timely resolve to some of these issues so that this project can move forward. And indeed, we are laying the groundwork, if not the pavement, for future generations, as well as further cooperation between, bi-state cooperation between the metro region, your side of the river, our side of the river. Thank you for allowing us to testify before you today, and we look forward to seeing you again in the very near future.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All right, Gail Ackerman. Is there someone else? And Mark Ellsworth.
Mayor Adams, Commissioners, I'm here with Mark Ellsworth from the Governor's Office, and Mark is going to address you from the Governor first.
Mayor Adams, Commissioners, excuse me, as the city began a more formal role in considering this project, the governor wrote a letter to the Planning Commission outlining his views on this, which I will now read. Dear Mr. Hansen, thank you for the opportunity to offer my support to the proposed New Columbia River Crossing. This is a national project. important to the Portland region, the state of Oregon, and the people of America. As the only continuous north-south interstate highway on the West Coast, this vital facility serves as a critical economic lifeline that ensures the vitality of this state in an ever more competitive global economy, while providing safe and reliable transportation options for all our citizens. While this is a very complex project involving two states, many local, state, and federal agencies, as well as thousands of hours of community input, I believe this project presents a huge opportunity for Oregon. Earlier this year, I met with U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters and asked her to consider recognizing the Columbia River Crossing project as a national demonstration project for how a large infrastructure investment could be designed and constructed to promote clean energy and combat climate change. I welcome your thorough review of this project and the consideration of its impacts on the city of Portland. I have full faith and confidence that the project sponsors will work to ensure that the values that make Portland a special place will be reflected in their work. I look forward to supporting the cities of Portland and Vancouver in their efforts to build a bridge that can serve as a model for the nation, which improves safety, provides options for commuters, embraces sustainable values, and ensures that Oregon remains well-positioned in the world economy. Sincerely, Theodore R. Kulongoski.
Thank you, Mark.
Mayor Adams and commissioners, my name is Gail Achterman. I am the chair of the Oregon Transportation Commission, and I also serve as the director of the Institute for Natural Resources with the Oregon University System. I'm here today to talk to you specifically about the greenhouse gas and climate change implications of this project, because I know it's an issue of very serious public concern, and I can assure you that it's a very serious concern to me personally. I began working on the governor's advisory group on global warming in 2003 with both my Transportation Commission hat on and my role as a member of the university community on natural resources and environmental issues, and I continue to serve on the governor's climate change integration group, developing the climate action plan for the state. I'm committed to that plan. The Oregon Department of Transportation is committed to that plan, and I believe that the Columbia River Crossing project is consistent and will contribute to moving in the right direction. And here's why. First and most important is that the Columbia River Crossing project is probably the first major bridge in the United States to fully integrate replacement of an old highway facility with transit, light rail facilities, with bicycle and pedestrian facilities. It's really three projects in one. And Commissioner Fish may have been terrified with his 16-year-old daughter driving through the weaving lanes, but if you've ever walked or ridden a bicycle across that bridge, I would say that that is truly life-threatening, beyond even driving. The governor is committed, the Transportation Department is committed to making this the greenest bridge that's ever been constructed. And I think if you look at what's been built into the project design, you'll find elements of sustainability throughout. Specifically, in terms of the climate change impacts, you asked, and your planning commission asked, when you saw the draft environmental impact statement and had to pick a locally preferred alternative, that the greenhouse gas and climate change analysis that had been done in conjunction with that draft, and I have to tell you, that was the first analysis of its kind, I believe, done for any facility in the country. This is new methodology. And we sent it out in response to your request and had it peer-reviewed by some of the top experts from the university system and from consulting firms to respond to the legitimate questions that citizens had been made. That analysis confirmed, and I think this is the most important thing, that the construction of this project, because it incorporates light rail and because it will incorporate demand management through tolling mechanisms, will actually reduce the number of vehicles crossing the bridge compared to doing nothing between now and 2030. Now, there are going to be increased vehicles crossing the bridge because every study we have shows population growth in the Portland-Vancouver metropolitan region. So there are going to be more people. There will be more trips. But because of the incorporation of transit, the bicycle pedestrian facilities, and the incorporation of tolling as a way to do demand management, the studies show, and they have been peer-reviewed, that the climate change, the greenhouse gas emissions, will be reduced compared to doing nothing. I think another thing that is very important to keep in mind here when we look at what has to happen to reduce the 32% of emissions of greenhouse gases that come from the transportation sector, one of the most critical things that we can do is to reduce vehicle miles traveled. And two of the most important ways to reduce vehicle miles traveled are to provide light rail service and to do tolling in order to implement congestion pricing mechanisms. And the critical takeaway on climate change in this project is that this project does both of those. And I believe that it's the best opportunity we have, or will have certainly in my lifetime, to assure that light rail is extended to Vancouver and Clark County and to implement tolling and congestion pricing, because there are some of us who actually remember when the bridge was tolled, so it's not a new thing. Finally, I'd like to close by indicating that the Oregon Department of Transportation is very serious about a partnership with you, with Metro, with our partners in the state of Washington, to make sure that we address citizens' concerns and that the project meets all of our community needs as we move forward and address the important issues, whether it's the number of lanes or the tolling issues that many of you addressed in your opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. How many people are signed up?
So far we have 75.
75. Are we going to go with two? Do you want to go with
one,
two? Are you okay with two? If we would, for the sake of your fellow participants, we would appreciate it if you could keep your remarks, because we have so many people signed up, to 2 minutes. And we have found over the years that what can be said well in 3 minutes can be said pretty darn well in 2 minutes.
And also we're accepting written testimony.
And we're accepting written testimony that you can deliver to Council Clerk Carla as you come up. So please call the first three names to testify and the three names in waiting.
Okay. The first three are Jan Hammer, Peg Johnson, and Matt Greer. And they'll be followed by Barbara Nelson, John Reinhold, and Tim Helzer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Portland City Council.
Thank you.
Hello. Thanks. I'll go first. My name is Matt Greer. I'm a director on the board of directors out at Jansen Beach Moorage, resident of Hayden Island. I'm here to speak in favor of having auxiliary lanes go onto Hayden Island. Waiting in the roundabout to get onto the island, the approach takes a lot of time. We want to make sure that people are able to get on and off of the island as well. And I also want to make sure that if there's any tolling, it would happen north of Hayden Island rather than for us residents, since we are members of the city of Portland, citizens. We don't want to be told to come onto the mainland here, so to speak. So,
thank you.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm Peg Johnson. I'm representing semi-officially, or the designated representative of the Jansen Beach Moorage. We're the moorage that is just west of the North Portland Harbor Bridge. We're most affected. We are the residential community that's most affected by this project. We're going to lose homes. We're going to lose infrastructure. We don't know how many yet. I'm here to tell you that even though we are the most impacted, and that we will be even more impacted by this addition of three auxiliary southbound lanes and three auxiliary northbound lanes, I do also want to remind you that I consider this I-5 project a maintenance project. It's part of an international necessary highway system that hasn't been maintained properly, and these additional auxiliary lanes are to deal with the realities of our movements today. But I do want to emphasize that Jansen Beach Moorage, even though we're impacted more by this project with the additional auxiliary lanes, supports those because we believe the increase in safety, the lack of congestion that results from this option, is the most important thing for the region. I also just want to briefly state that we spent thousands and thousands, lots of people have, thousands and thousands of volunteer hours on this project. We have been very critical. We have been very concerned. We're citizens. We wanted to see our investment in this project so far, which is about $50 million, pay off for all of us. I personally have a master's in economics from Portland State in the Urban Studies program. I know something about induced demand, urban sprawl, and travel patterns. There's other ways, as well as this project. There's other tools we have in the box to address those issues. I hope that we can get this project moving forward and that you can come to some compromise with your partners. Thank you.
Hi, Mayor Adams and fellow commissioners, including the new people today. I'm Jan Hamer, manager at Jansen Beach Moorage. I do want to start out by saying that I do support the 12-lane option with the auxiliary lanes and light rail. I've been here many times speaking to you all about Jansen Beach Moorage and water-related issues. Randy's office through Ty Kovac helped us when we were bogged down with Title 28. And also, we had electrical problem when we were with the code and the electric engineers and his staff, and he and his staff helped us out when we were rebuilding the moorage that Peg referred to. Alice Wetzel has helped us with the Hayden Island plan. She's been working with Peg Johnson. These are go-to people that we really think are important for us to survive, and as Peg mentioned, we're highly impacted. So I get to give you a little geography lesson. In front of you is two aerial photos. The first one shows an overview of the west end of the island. And outlined in red is Jansen Beach Moorage, and that shows you how big a part and how much a part of the island that we are there and the rest of the floating community. And the other one is based on the acquisition person who's been talking to the local realtors and appraisers at Jansen and talking to the office about what we think is that we understand to be the footprint. And if you notice on the second aerial photograph there, the dark black line is where the so-called drip line or footprint of the bridge will be, and it has a major impact, as Peg mentioned, over A and B row. And then the acquisition person is telling us that C and D row are in jeopardy because of the construction easement that's necessary to build a bridge there. So as you can see, it's a major impact on the moorage and on the residents. We have about 300 residents in the moorage, and it's a major impact. So what I'd like to ask you, Mr. Mayor, to do today is to, or sometime in the near future, is appoint somebody that we can work with close to us, our go-to person that we can go to when the going gets rough, because it's going to be rough. We're going to have major negotiations, and we need some support from your office to help us out. So I'd like to personally ask you to appoint somebody like you have in the past, and they've been very successful. Thank you.
Do you have a business card you could leave with?
I sure do.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your volunteer time.
Thank you.
The next three are Barbara Nelson, John Reinhold, and Tim Helzer. They'll be followed by Dave Nadal, Mark Whiting, and Terry Parker.
Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Barbara Nelson, and I'm more on the human side of Jansen Beach Moorage. I'm also a director. I moved there 18 years ago. It is a wonderful lifestyle. I was involved in losing a house on Murray Road when they widened Murray Road to Murray Boulevard. And I found a floating home community, which is absolutely spectacular. Some people have been there 30, 40 years. The people who are on the rows right close to the bridge are being affected now. What's going to happen? Where are they going to live? The sooner we get the approval, yes, we support the 12 lanes. And yes, thinking about going on a bicycle, I took a handicapped scooter over that bridge once. I never did that again. I'd love to have light rail coming through. But so many of our residents are long-term residents. We are a community. We know each other. I hate to say it, there's an awful lot of we don't lock our doors. We don't have to. And the sooner you approve the 12 lanes, which we support, we need a way to get off of the island. We need a way to get on the island. And the sooner we can work with everybody in order to get our homes rearranged so they can start living their life, gaining the value. Since we bought the mortgage 11 years ago, we are now almost full-time residents, and we had maybe half-time rentals. Half of us were rentals when we bought it. Now we're down to just a few rentals. We're people that want to stay there and live there, and it's a wonderful lifestyle. Please consider, and in case President Obama does something quickly with some funds, we want to be ready to say, yes, let's get this thing going.
Just a clarification on that. This bridge is not slated to break ground in the best-case scenario for 2 years.
2 years would be better than what we've heard.
Yeah. Thanks.
Luke. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, and welcome, Commissioner Fritz. My name is John Reinhold. I'm a resident of Southeast Portland, and I'm a little bit disturbed throughout this whole process by the amount of fear-mongering and scare tactics that have been going on about what happens if we don't do this and what happens if we don't do that. And I question a lot of the data that has been brought up as being completely counter to what we have found over the past 50 years. However, I want to remind this council that economic stimulus and job creation and wealth can be done in a prudent fashion. We do not necessarily need to make poor decisions or rush into things simply for the sake of the almighty dollar. Jobs can be had doing things right just as easily as they can doing things wrong. I also would like to remind that the cost of doing something wrong not only is current economic issues, but long-term economic issues. I question if this is indeed a matter of national significance, then why are 8 lanes enough for the Markham Bridge and the Fremont Bridges, which are also part of the I-5 corridor? I question how come we don't have more lanes going over the Willamette River at Wilsonville. I question what are all the small 2-lane parts of I-5 doing throughout Portland, and why aren't they being addressed with the same urgency as is the Columbia River crossing? I would recommend 8 lanes at most for the Columbia River crossing, and if the issue is truly auxiliary traffic and local traffic that is merging and weaving, then perhaps a local arterial bridge to Hayden Island would be the more prudent choice to keep that merging local traffic off of an interstate and instead keep the interstate moving freely. I also would like to recommend that none of us have ever said it's an all or nothing choice. So saying that comparing things to a do nothing or build nothing option really makes no sense. I think there are a number of small fixes that could be implemented and solve our problems. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Council members, my name is Tim Helzer. I'm a resident of Hayden Island. I'd like to share with you a couple of instances where the planning that's been going on for the last several years on Hayden Island impacts your decision over the next couple of months. The Hayden Island plan, which is just now going through the Portland Planning Commission consideration, has been coordinated carefully with the plans for the Columbia River crossing. It's also a central part of our quality of life on Hayden Island because there are about 3,000 of us there, along with retail, commercial, industrial, and recreational interests, and yet we have only one on and one off access. Our very clever and bright chair of the Hayden Island Neighborhood Organization Network some months ago said, most of us, or at least 50% of us on the island, are 60 and older. We plan our heart attacks and our strokes to not be coordinated with rush hour because there's no way for emergency services to get to us if we need their serious help. I'd encourage you to look at the 12 lanes because it allows the kind of access onto and off of the island that we desperately need. It reduces congestion, it improves access, and most of all, it improves safety. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you all.
The next three are Dave Nadal, Mark Whiting, and Terry Parker. And they'll be followed by Lenny Anderson, Steve Kafis, and Jim Pauley.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council.
Thank you.
Who would like to start?
Yes, I'll go ahead. I'm Dave Nadal from Multnomah Village, in Southwest Portland. I support no new lanes except for rail freight and light rail. To me, this is an issue of regional identity. If you open this up, you facilitate more sprawl up the Columbia River. Then in a few years, we'll be back again for some more lane expansions. To me, the elephant in the room is regional identity and taking control of our future. Regional diversity and human-maintained separation is okay. Let's let Vancouver differentiate, create its own unique cultural identity. Slow, wise population growth forces us to look inward and change the quality of life factors in our local neighborhoods. The biggest problem to me about this on a concrete level is expanding the freeway through the neighborhoods, North and Northeast Portland. To me, this further entombs North and Northeast residents with diesel exhaust, smoke, metallic particulates from brake linings, more noise from buses and trucks. I don't think this is fair. There are huge, huge populations there. Our greatest regional product is our calm, peace of quiet, and quality of life. And I see a lot of us, when will all of us ex-60s idealists start actually enacting our idealism? Bike and pedestrians, even expanding automobile lanes hurts bike and pedestrians because there they are breathing the exhaust fumes of more lanes. It also hurts light rail passengers in their air intake vents. Gail Achterman mentioned studies of population growth. I say we create whatever rate of population growth we want. So my conclusion is that we should have no added lanes for cars or trucks, maybe a great big aquatic park, and added capacity for rail freight only. Finally, Vancouver, BC is now an entire city entombed by automobiles, and because of the jam they got themselves in, they are now expanding their freeway capacity. And so Vancouver, the dream of Vancouver is kind of being ruined.
Thank you.
Mayor and commissioners, my name is Mark Whiting, and I'm with the West Vancouver Freight Alliance. We're a group of about 40 businesses in Vancouver. We support the 12-lane build-out with projected over the next 21 years, about an 80% increase in truck transportation across the bridge, as well as an additional 40% in automotive. I don't know that there is any other option for everyone to view. The safety is certainly a huge, huge issue. With 7 miles and 5 interchanges, we need the additional lanes. There has been so much work that has been done, so many people, and they should be proud of what they've done. There's no other option. We hope that you view it our way. Thank you.
Terry.
Terry Parker from Northeast Portland. Safety is one of the most important issues on any highway. Yet several of the Oregon representatives on the Sponsors Council have chosen to ignore traffic modeling that demonstrates a wider bridge will not only lower the crash rate, but also significantly reduce congestion and contribute to a better traffic flow. Highway safety should not be minimized. The 12-lane option is the safest and therefore should be recommended. Many of the new clean technology innovations and fuel sources that will power the cars of the future have not even been developed yet. Any ploy to build less than a 12-lane bridge that will be functionally obsolete tomorrow must not be based on the motor vehicle technology of today. Calling for the Columbia River crossing with a design to see us through the 21st century, the Oregonian editorial board wisely wrote, it must be built with enough capacity to handle traffic for as many years as possible. And that means making the bridge 12 lanes, not 10 or 8. They are absolutely correct. Saving the taxpayers' money is also extremely important. That brings into question some of the designs being proposed. An artsy bridge may require a significant amount of extra maintenance costs in the long term. The efficiency of placing transit on a lower deck under the highway works best with a 12-lane option, but does not work with an 8-lane option. Not only should the bridge reflect the best choice functionally with a conservatively priced design, but there also needs to be an open discussion about slimming down the excessive 20-foot-wide bicycle path and deleting all the pork barrel spending for recreational bicycle trails that have been attached to the project. Some Oregon representatives on the Sponsors Council obviously want to make the crossing into a social engineering project that rations highway capacity for the working class, but not for the well-to-do elitists who can pay for the tolls. Clearly, this exemplifies a dictator-like socialistic control mindset. The Columbia River Crossing is a vital link in the I-5 corridor that carries both interstate and international commerce. Currently, no tolls exist on I-5 between Canada and Mexico. The bridge is both a highway bridge and a local connector. Any bridge needs to better connect the region together using divisive tolls to manipulate motor vehicle travel. This does just the opposite. Therefore, this is my final point. If tolling occurs, it should be minimal, removed when the bridge is paid for, and to be equitable, tolls must be charged to the users of all modes of vehicular traffic, including bicycle, and requiring that bicycles and transit passengers pay their own way. Any revenue from motorist tolls must only be applied to the highway portion of the crossing. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Carly?
Next three are Lenny Anderson, Steve Kafis, and Jim Pauley. Thank you. They'll be followed by Monica Isbell, Susie, I believe the last name is Lassemi, and Ken Hayes.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Lenny, I think you are first on the list.
I'm up. Okay. Let's see if we can do this in 2 minutes. My name is Lenny Anderson, Mayor Adams, and Commissioners. I manage the Swan Island Transportation Management Association, a project whose purpose is to move freight to, through, and from Swan Island in North Portland. Our strategy is to help as many people of the area's 10,000 employees get to work without commuting alone in a car. Basically, two SOVs equals one semi. I believe strongly that this should be at the heart of our approach on I-5, and it has not been. It has not been there. We know from what we did in 1997 that with aggressive transportation demand management, we can reduce a lot, if not all, of the congestion on that facility. There has been very little TDM. In fact, on the second sheet I gave you, things have gotten worse. Bus service has been canceled. HOV lanes have been removed in the years since 97. I was on the governor's task force, and about midway through, when we were told that half the traffic was local, I suggested what we need is a Broadway bridge. We need a local bridge. That's local traffic. Why are we trying to put local traffic on an interstate freeway? This was never studied, despite the fact that the task force split down the middle. The staff walked away from that obligation. So now you're stuck trying to decide how many auxiliary lanes to put on to facilitate local traffic that really shouldn't be there. And I would beg to differ with, if I may have half a second more, we are not suggesting doing nothing. What we have been suggesting is that we address the problem as it is. That is, how do you address local traffic with a local bridge? It's called a frontage road, I think, in ODOT talk, with light rail, with TDM, and we probably can make the existing 6 lanes work very well indeed. Thank you.
Thanks, Lenny. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Kafis. I'm a resident of North Portland. I'm also on the Community and Environmental Justice Group. That's associated with the Columbia River Crossing Project. As a group, we did endorse the 12-lane option. But I guess I'm here more as a resident. The 12-lane option, really, to me, a name makes it sound monstrous. I wish I'd have picked something like Jane, John, and Joe for the options rather than 12 lanes. But because when you look at it, it's really not a 12-lane bridge all the way across. It's not some monstrosity that goes all the way across. Why I want the wider bridge is I live on Interstate Avenue. I get the overflow from I-5 right now, and with the introduction of light rail down through North Portland, Interstate Avenue has been reduced from two lanes down to one lane in each direction, which heavily increases traffic on the overflow off of I-5. By allowing that overflow to get back onto I-5 where it belongs and be able to cross the bridge would make the neighborhoods in the area a much more livable option. The 12-lane option obviously is a much safer option than it is on the 10 or the 8, where the merging is much more controlled, and the studies have shown that there are going to be less crashes. I guess the last thing I really want to say is it's a lesson that I learned from my mom when I was a little kid when she bought me shoes. She always bought me shoes that were a little bit bigger than what my feet were. And she told me I would grow into those shoes. And I've always bought in shoes that were a little bit bigger because I knew I would grow into them.
Even now?
Even now. Okay, wait. So I bought small shoes one time. It's a lesson hard learned. Never get something too small. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Mayor, commissioners, my name is Jim Pauley. I represent the Columbia Pacific Building Trades. We represent tradesmen and tradeswomen who live and work on both sides of the Columbia River. So we are in favor of this project at 12 lanes with light rail and bike and pedestrian. The jobs that are created and the commerce and the additional safety are obvious benefits. With the likelihood of federal dollars being available, I think we need to provide a united front to the feds that we are all on board this project and get together and decide what we're going to do. I'd also like to plug steel as a building material. We have some of the finest fabrication shops here in the in the nation. So, and I realize a project this big, you can't please everybody. So we need to build a bridge that'll do the most good for the most people.
Is there perhaps any connection between what you do for a living and your love of steel?
Never stop selling. Never stop selling.
Thank you all very much.
The next three are Monica Isbell, Susie Lachem, and Ken Hayes. They'll be followed by Steve Bates, Michelle Poyoro, and Lynn, I believe the last name is Talia, on Northeast 162nd. Thanks.
Good afternoon.
Okay, I'll go first. Mayor Adams, councilors, commissioners. I'm Susie Lawson with the Port of Portland. I'm here both as the chair of the Oregon Freight Advisory Committee for the state, as well as representing the port. Bill Wyatt was unable to attend today due to personal reasons. I'm leaving a letter behind from OFAC, the Oregon Freight Advisory Committee, supporting 12 lanes. They're representing 35 businesses around the state concerned about efficient freight movement in the state of Oregon, I-5 being a critical piece of infrastructure for that committee's focus. But I also like to read a few words that Bill prepared. Today, our mission reflects the intent of what the Oregon legislature established more than 100 years ago for the Port of Portland, and that was to ensure that businesses and customers of the city, this region, and the state can access the global marketplace and compete with the commerce of this nation and others. Having the right infrastructure in place to facilitate quick and inexpensive access to those markets is an essential ingredient. The Columbia River Crossing is part of that national infrastructure that not only links this city with other states, but it's also the pivot point for products coming from and going to Asia, Europe, and other international markets by way of the ports. So it's not surprising that more than 23 million tons of freight cross this bridge annually with a market value of in excess of $40 billion. With three-quarters of that freight, or $30 billion worth of commodities, entering or exiting in the 7 interchange bridge influence area each year. The 7 interchanges are the swinging doors that provide product access to the next step in their journey, whether it's to a port, an airport, or a local business. The smooth and efficient transition to that next point in the supply chain has both a financial benefit to the business as well as to the city's economy. And in consideration of time, I just want to emphasize that the port supports the 12-lane option because the three through lanes with three add and drop lanes in each direction perform the best for safety, delay in interchange access, and fluidity. The 12-lane option also has the least local street impact and diversion to I-205, which is an important consideration for the future access and development around PDX. Thank you.
Susie, if I may.
Yes.
I read in the paper today that Bill's father died.
Yes.
Bill's father was Wendell Wyatt.
That's right.
Who had quite a reputation and career in our community. I know we'll all be communicating with Bill privately, but would you please extend the deepest condolences of this council to Bill?
I sure will. Thank you.
I'm Monica Isbell. I own Starboard Alliance Company, which is a supply chain consulting practice, and I was a three-year member of the Columbia River Crossing Task Force. My company is in the middle of a consulting project right now to ascertain how a wide variety of shippers across Oregon use Oregon's multimodal transportation system. During the interviews I've conducted so far, I've learned that 94% of them depend on the I-5 crossing to move the raw materials and finished goods to and from suppliers and customers in Washington, Canada, and across the world via Puget Sound ports. And many of these companies depend on the bridge every single day. This includes companies located far afield from Portland, such as ADEC in Newburgh, Anderson Hay in Aurora, Harry and David in Medford, Columbia River Logistics in Umatilla, Fremont Sawmill in Lakeview, Kettle Foods in Norpac in Salem, Orenco Systems in Sutherland, South Coast Lumber in Brookings, Valley Hay in Harrisburg. This indicates that the Columbia River Crossing is a critical link for businesses statewide, not just those located in Portland and Vancouver region. We already know that from other studies that the CRC facilitates commerce nationally and internationally. The shippers I interviewed are negatively affected by the congestion at the crossing and, when possible, have made adjustments to production and shipping schedules to avoid peak traffic times, but delays and missed vessel cutoff times still occur, which adds unnecessary costs to their supply chains. Modeling done by the CRC technical staff has forecasted that a combination of 12 through merge and weave and lanes would deliver the most efficient solution and best return on investment. Safety would be greatly enhanced. Consistent speeds could be better maintained. Transit would be more reliable. Better freeway access would be available to users, and greenhouse gases would be reduced. I urge the council to support a 12-lane solution.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Ken Hayes, and I managed to leave my notes at home, so I'm sorry if it's a little broken. I'm here as a concerned citizen for my fellow citizens who can't be here today in the I-5 corridor around Interstate Avenue on either side of that I-5 corridor there, and how much air pollution and benzene currently totally exceeds the EPA levels for safe levels at this point. And the impact of putting a larger bridge with a lot more lanes is going to produce sprawl, and it has in the past if you look at other projects across the country. I also wanted to find out, I love that everybody's been talking about tolls and the congestion pricing, but I think that the toll should also include subsidization of the max across the river. So the fare you're paying should be paid by people who are actually causing all the air pollution, mm-hmm. and that maybe some pollution abatement programs as well. And I want to make sure that both bridges are involved as well, because people just go around to the other bridge and avoid it, and thereby causing more pollution. So that's why I'm here today. Thank you
all very much. Oh. Carla.
Next three are Steve Bates, Michelle Poyoro, and Lynn, I believe it's Telarsh, on 162nd. What is it? Lerbach? Maybe Lynn Lerbach? And they'll be followed by Dave Tully, Bill Shelton, Sheltova, maybe, and Joe Durley.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll go ahead. Good afternoon. My name is Steve Bates. I'm the Vice President of Redmond Heavy Hauling, which is based on Columbia Boulevard in North Portland. I have been actively involved in the freight business in Portland my entire life, dating back to 1958 when my father and uncle started a trucking company that originated in the original mobile truck and car service center in the Stockyards Center on Marine Drive. As far back as I can remember, the interstate bridge influence area has been a topic of discussion and disdain in the freight industry. Truckers have always had opinions and ideas about changes, but it's only been in the recent history that we've been able to get involved in the process, hopefully adding value to the decision-making. I-5 through the CRC project area was back in 1958 and will continue to be vital to the freight movement and the movement of freight and people up and down the West Coast, as well as within the Portland-Vancouver region. The CRC staff and hundreds of other people working on committees, focus groups, and study groups have been analyzing every aspect of this project, including the appropriate number of lanes, to better understand the most safe and efficient way to move the high volume of cars and trucks that are entering and exiting I-5 in that 5-mile segment.